From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last month, the Illinois General Assembly's Latino Caucus announced new leadership, new membership rules, and new policy goals for the legislative session underway in Springfield. Joining me now to talk more about that is one of the new co-chairs of the Latino Caucus, State Senator Christina Castro. She's a Democrat from Elgin in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and she was also recently named chairwoman of the Senate Executive Committee, which deals with some of the most important and controversial legislation in state government. Senator Castro, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here.
And listeners, we are taping this conversation ahead of time, so we are not taking calls for this segment, but you can always let us know what you thought. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. All right, Senator Castro, the announcement of new leadership for the Latino Caucus, it talked about the dual pandemics of COVID-19 and systemic racism. Let's take those in turn. There are varied Latino communities in Illinois. So to the extent you can generalize, what are their biggest needs in terms of the pandemic that they're not getting now?
I think one of the things that we are looking at with the Latino community across the state, as we've continuously grown, obviously I'm, from the suburbs. We have also three other members that are elected in the suburbs, Rep. Doug Mara Avalar, Representative Barbara Hernandez, as well as Senator Karina Villa, who is newly elected. I think one of the things when you talk about the Latino community and its impact during COVID-19 is the fact of the matter is if you looked at the rate of infection, at the rate of illness, it really impacted our community the most, mostly because a lot of our community are frontline essential workers. Many of them worked in grocery stores, worked in hospitals, and they got higher rates of COVID-19. So when we look at some of the issues that are impacting our community, we also want to make sure that the Latino community gets, the needed care, whether it's access to COVID testing, access currently to the vaccine. Those are some of the things that we are looking at when we talk about, the impact to the community. But it's not necessarily just limited to the state. It's, across the nation, you see the disproportionately impacted communities are Black and Brown communities.
I wonder how you think the state and local health authorities are doing in terms of communicating about the vaccine. One of my colleagues was looking at public health websites downstate, at least, and found a real lack of local, particularly Spanish language information on how to get the COVID vaccine. I wonder what you and other members of the caucus might be doing to help get that vaccine information to Latino communities where Spanish is the dominant language and also in English dominant areas as well.
And that's a very good question. One of the things is we have, as I mentioned, a standing meeting with the governor's office. We did get an update from Deputy Governor Sil Flores on a mobile unit that they're about to launch and want to work with many members of the Latino Caucus to make sure they penetrate directly into the communities by partnering with a, organization or an agency that the Latino community is comfortable with. So we got some ideas on how they plan to do that. I think local health departments, as well as the state of Illinois, are doing their best as they can. Obviously, they're still looking for supply. But we also can do better, right? The state can do more, and we're obviously working very closely with them to try to reach those disproportionately impacted communities.
So I mentioned a few moments ago that the Latino Caucus identified twin pandemics, and the other was the pandemic of systemic racism as a priority. What exactly are your priorities there this legislative session?
I think one of the things is when you talk about access and making sure our communities, one of the largest growing populations in the state, have the same sort of access to the resources when it comes to funding, whether it comes education, whether it comes to human health and human service areas. And I think that's one of the things that we are focusing on. And we're not limited to that as well. We are obviously working very closely looking at the issues in regards to the cannabis lottery and the fact that there weren't a lot of Latino applicants, and not only in that, but also in the R3 grants. So I think those are some of the things that we are delving into and looking at. Language access is a big thing that, as you mentioned earlier, is to make sure there's more equitable language access in a lot of the different areas. And I think as we look at the budget and we look at some of the conversations that are had, we just want to make sure our communities aren't left behind, whether it is with the COVID-19 pandemic or everything in the future, you know, we're here and we're a part of those conversations and look forward to working with the governor's office and negotiating on a lot of those issues so that way that we can help our communities.
You mentioned R3 grants just for the benefit of some of our listeners who may not be up on all the state government lingo. That's, I think it's, was it Restore, Reinvest, and Renew, something along those lines. It basically takes some of the profits from the cannabis legalization and directs them back into communities that were disproportionately affected by the war on drugs. And to that point, the Black Caucus got a lot of attention and was fairly successful in pushing through a number of pieces of legislation in January, which of course comes in the wake of the widespread protests for racial justice last year. Governor Pritzker, in fact, signed the education component of that legislation this week, as you know. Will Latinas also benefit from that legislation, and or do you have a complementary agenda?
Well, actually, we worked very closely with Black Caucus, and we applaud them and a lot of their work that they did. Many of the members of the Latino Caucus provided some input and feedback, and we, as the United Caucus, supported all the four pillars that that actually, three of the four that passed. Obviously, there's a fourth that's still being worked on. And yes, these pillars, you know, obviously support and help the African American community, but there's benefits as well to the Latino community. And we were happy and excited to be supportive of all those initiatives and work with all the sponsors. And, you know, obviously there's more to be done, right? I think there's more to be done, not only for the Black Caucus agenda, but also the Latino Caucus's agenda and some of the items that we still are working on and look forward to continuing to work on and building those partnerships as we did with our Black Caucus colleagues.
And then just one more policy point I wanted to ask you about. We had a conversation on our show on Monday this week about environmental problems facing certain communities around Illinois, including a largely Latino area on the southeast side of Chicago, where residents are trying to prevent the relocation of a metal shredding plant. There was a hunger strike. This plant would be about a block away from a park, a school, and a neighborhood. I know that's not in your district, but does the state have a greater role to play in trying to prevent what activists call environmental racism?
Absolutely. I'm actually the chief Senate sponsor of the Clean Energy Jobs Act that actually tackles a lot of that environmental racism. You know, you look at even now, right, when you look at the where fossil fuels and pollution are and harmful chemicals are located, they're located in Black and brown communities, right? And I think it is very important that we start to focus on how do we improve that environment for those communities, and that a lot of these polluters don't belong in those communities. And I think it is time for us to have a seat at the table of that discussion. I know the governor's office has been putting together a coalition of folks of different organizations together to negotiate, a large energy package, hopefully to be passed sometime in May. But, you know, this is one of those issues that we focus on is not only, you know, ending or addressing environmental racism, but also allowing our communities to have access to any kind of renewable energy product, whether it's through electric vehicles, whether it's entrepreneurship, jobs in a growing field. My bill actually has a very robust viewpoint on how that can be done. But it also goes as far as making sure that even our public transportation, which, you know, is more electrified and less pollutes is less. So I think this is an opportunity and a time to have that discussion. You're seeing that discussion across the country. You know, Joe Biden has made it his top priority to address a lot of these issues. And so we look forward to having that conversation here.
I hear the train coming.
Yes. You know, I grew up by trains. So the funny thing is growing up by trains, I could sleep through them. It doesn't bother me. It's actually a soothing sound to me, but that's just me.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Illinois State Senator Christina Castro. She's a Democrat from Elgin and was recently elected co-chair of the Latino Caucus. And I want to now take a step back and talk about Latino communities in Illinois and their representation in the General Assembly and Congress. I've tried to be intentional in our conversation to use the plural when I say Latino communities in Illinois, because they are in Chicago, they're in the suburbs, they're some downstate, and they're spread out. And that has implications when it comes to redrawing Illinois' legislative district boundaries. And you often see the 4th Congressional District cited as an example of kind of crazy gerrymandering. It does look like a sideways U or a set of headphones, but you know, drawing the district that way, as you know, united Latino communities in such a way that they've been able to elect Congress people, Luis Gutierrez first, now Congressman Chuy Garcia. This is a long windup to say we hear a lot from politicians demanding fair maps, including Governor Pritzker. But what does a fair map look like from the perspective of the Latino caucus?
I think one of the things is like, when I think a fair map to not only the Latino caucus, but the entire, you know, General Assembly is one that's an open and transparent process where all kinds of stakeholders have an opportunity to provide input and feedback on data. I believe from what I understand, it's very early on in the process, there will be public hearings across the state where different organizations, community groups could come and give testimony. So I look forward to a lot of that conversation and to hearing that process as they start along. It is very early in its infancy, but I look forward to hearing a lot of that conversation. And I anticipate a lot of Latino-led organizations will be, you know, providing that testimony.
I mean, there's a growing, I get the sense, as just an observer of state politics, that there's a growing sense of interest in representation here. There's, I believe, one member of the Illinois congressional delegation is claims Latino heritage, Chuy Garcia. But if you look at the population, it's 17.5% of Illinoisans are Hispanic or Latino, according to the Census Bureau. That would be 3 congressional seats. Do you think that that representation needs to increase in Congress?
Yes, we have a 17% Latino population. We also have a growing Asian, South Asian population as well. So I think there's a lot of different constituencies that will probably come forward during this process and provide testimony. And I look forward to being a part of an open and transparent process as we look at redistricting.
Our time is running short. I did want to ask, the Latino caucus this year, when it announced new leadership, including you as a co-chair, also announced it was limiting its membership to self-identified Latino, Latina, or Latinx members, no longer permitting people who simply represented Latino communities but don't claim the heritage. I'm wondering why the change there.
One thing I could say is we can't step out of our skin. And we are, you know, a growing caucus. And so it became a conversation with many in the committee to really look at where we wanted to go as a caucus. There are, I believe, 16 members now. And that was very similar to what happened as well. At one point or another, the Black and Latino caucus were actually one caucus. And as the Black caucus also gained in numbers, they decided to go ahead and create its own caucus. So it's really no different. It was time. It doesn't mean those members who have majority Latino districts won't be involved. Many of them still are very, very involved and very engaged in the process. I think it was just time with the growth of the caucus that we wanted to go in this direction.
You also were put forward by Congressman Garcia as a potential head of the Democratic Party of Illinois, succeeding former House Speaker Michael Madigan. You ultimately supported another candidate. The party chose Congresswoman Robin Kelly. Do you think the Democratic Party as an institution in Illinois is doing enough to sort of acknowledge the importance of Latino constituents to its success?
I think that was why I stepped forward. I wanted to bring a voice to a growing demographic within our state, as well as, you know, a growing demographic in our collar counties, right? You look at the growth of the Democratic Party, it has grown in the suburbs. And so my venture into the race was twofold. It was to focus on both of those areas who seemed not to get as much focus, and that is where the growth. And it was an honor to be nominated by Congressman Garcia and to be put forth. And ultimately, myself, Congressman Garcia, as well as Alderwoman Silvana Tavares, why we ended up going with Robin Kelly is Robin's ideas aligned very much with why I was running. And so I look forward to working very closely with Chairwoman Kelly. I have already been asked to step forward to help on some of her transition, but I will allow her the opportunity to roll that out. So I look forward to being very active and also bringing that suburban Latino voice to a lot of the conversation on reshaping what the Democratic Party should be coming in the future.
My last question for you, and I'm asking this of public officials all this year, and it's more big picture. What is politics for? What, in your view, is the purpose of politics?
Is simply put, it is giving voice to the voiceless. I have always cherished the fact that I use my own experiences, my family's experiences through life to bring about conversations and changing legislation for the better of people. And so that's how I view it. It's as simple as that. It may be cliche to some, but I truly get up every morning and I go out there to help people. Even more so during this trying time in a global pandemic, right? Whether it's navigating the complexities of our IDS system to just making sure somebody has access to an agency or they don't, you know, or follow up on behalf of a constituent. It is really trying to address a lot of those issues through legislation. And I enjoy what I do. And as long as the people of the 22nd Senate District continue to elect me to do it, I will continue to serve on behalf of them.
State Senator Christina Castro is a Democrat from Elgin. She's also recently elected co-chair of the Latino Caucus. Senator Castro, thank you for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.